Hey everyone, it's October 19th, a Monday. Hopefully everyone is well, had a good weekend, good spirits. I can't believe it's actually fall. Pumpkins are out and it just seems like everybody's at like a pumpkin patch or an apple cider winery doing something, which is cool. I love it. This is the perfect weather to just throw on a jacket. You still don't have to bundle up and you can just enjoy your friends and family just like that. This week, I wanted to talk a little bit more about just being a vibe, being you, as well as something else that's kind of like tongue-in-cheeky, you're not a hoe. I'll kind of start with the latter first. So I know a lot of people consider a hoe in the Urban Dictionary as somebody that's fast, easy, even a slut. But that's not really what I'm referencing today. It kind of like, you can do whatever you want to do. I feel like if you over like 28 or so, I feel like you had enough life experience to do whatever you want to do. Sleep around. If you don't want to sleep around, I really don't care about what people do. As long as you're not doing it to like your friends or people you know. So what I mean by being a hoe is being every and any place and oversaturating yourself. So it kind of sounds like weird saying it in that phrase, but listen to what I have to say. So I just know just coming up in my career and just coming up, just having friends, I would just like apply to like a lot of jobs, the same thing that I'm doing, of course, a lot of jobs, go on these interviews, and I've never stopped to think about what do I like? What am I benefiting from? I just wanted them to hire me and to like me. Now, as I did my inner workings of myself, I said, why would I do that? What about me? What do I need? What do I like about the job? What am I getting out of it? And again, not to be transactional with everything in life, but look, you only have one life. And earlier this year, I did know somebody that died of COVID that was like my age. And it kind of was like, wow, after you die, life stops for you, changes for your family and everything else. So I feel like you really do just have one life to live. So I kind of get why a lot of people are so transactional. And I think you should be too, to a certain extent. Now, like everyone says, you spend most of your time at work. You're going to be working for a long time. Sometimes you may take that break, sabbatical. You may take a leave of absence or whatever have you, to refresh yourself. But you got to think about, why would you apply to just anything just to satisfy, just to be chosen, like a pick me person? Now, don't get me wrong. And if it's a recession and you got to put food on the table, that's totally different. That's something you're doing to survive. But if you're in a good situation, the economy's booming, why sell yourself short? And I think that's one of the things that I've thought about. Like, why should you overdo it to saturate yourself in the market? And I remember a friend was interviewing last year. He was like, look, I'm at the point where I'm reading the description. I'm applying the jobs that I like and that I think I can do. And I remember earlier this year, I went on like a couple of interviews. And for the first time in my life, just getting confident in myself and in my group of things, I realized that I had a conversation with the interviewer instead of them belting off questions at me. What did you do? What did you do? I'm like, and I know younger in your career, you just answer the questions obediently. But as you get older, no, we're going to be collaborative, even though you're my manager. And if you have like a forward thinking career and things like that, of course, you're going to probably collaborate with your manager a lot more as you get hired. So you want to see how they act, how they will manage you. So you try to ask questions along with that. But for the first time when I interviewed earlier this year, it was just like I picked up on the vibe that they wanted somebody that was like a subordinate that will help them do their work and like clean up the mess. And I was happy with myself that I recognized that, that I said, okay, it's not for me. Wow, it's not a bad interview. Wow, this guy's not a bad person. This lady's not a bad person. And it made me feel good about myself that, look, I tried. I didn't oversaturate myself. I read the description and I saw what they needed because I asked what they needed. And I think that's one of the things you think about in interviews. You may really want the job, really want an opportunity, but ask, what do they need from you? So that's one thing I would say, don't be a hoe. The other thing is, one of my favorite topics is the friendship clique game. Don't be a hoe. So now, you know, in high school, it's very cliquish. All throughout your school years, it's cliquish, you can really say. And one of the things that I found is that you'll find your clique, whether it's the nerd clique, the fancy girl clique, whatever it is, you'll find your clique. Or if you're that loner, you'll be that loner. But one of the things that how I was, I spread myself. I could specifically talk more to high school. In junior high, I wasn't really like that. In college, I was definitely a loner. But in high school, I did have like one or two close best friends, but I also did spread myself thin. Let me talk to this person in front of my face. Let me talk to that person in front of my face. Then that went on to like networking. And I, don't get me wrong, you do meet a lot of people and you see which one is for you. How do you get along with each other? I was at this happy hour, that happy hour, meeting a lot of people. So if I walk into, Manhattan in a location, in those four blocks, I can definitely see people that I've seen at those happy hours at least once or twice. They probably even went on a couple of dates with them or whatever. No horror stories there, thank goodness. But I realized that why am I yearning to be liked? Now, it's good to have friends. It's good to have company. It's good to share positive memories, positive stories. I think it's always fun to look back and say, wow, girl, remember when we did this? Wow, bro, remember when we did that? Ha, ha, ha. We came so far together. We were in college and undergrad together, and now we're here, like, bossing it up. I think that's a great story to have. And not all of us will have that story, which is okay. That's not your path right now. But I feel like always figure out you. Like, but they have this new meme again. I always reference Instagram saying, you know, it's a blessing to be in my life. And I don't think saying that, I'm not saying that to be cocky, but that's just what the meme says. And I'm just saying, instead of trying to go from click to click to click and just trying to ebb and flow with everyone, you need to find a person that values you. You need to find friends that value you, associates that value you, and that don't want to just use you. So how do you know that? Well, not initially you won't know that, but all I'm just mentioning is don't spread yourself too thin trying to hang out with everybody. I had a friend, we used to go to these dinners like once or twice a year, and then after a while it got so boring. And the friendship just phased out. So now I didn't think of it anyway. I didn't have malice towards her and said, oh, forget that B because she don't want to talk to me. No, I just said, okay, our life is going to different sections. Two different areas. So, okay, fine. She went her way and I went my way without any fanfare. Nothing happened between us. And that was great. So I feel like that's another way too. You need to figure out who you want to vibe with and not truly try to vibe with everyone. Because one, you don't want everyone in your business. You don't want anyone to jinx it or have any negative attitudes about it. And you don't need to be a people pleaser. I think that's really where I'm going with this. There's no need for you to be a people pleaser to get people to like you because people will like you for you. Now, always being a regular pessimist, I've always had a story to tell, as I mentioned before. So I think people look to me to brighten their day. And this sounds messed up, but say, for example, you're always on the phone and say, oh, Lord, I got a leak in the bathroom. Oh, Lord, I got a hole in my floor. Oh, Lord, somebody stole my shirt. And having those stories provided entertainment for people because they didn't have to reflect on how shitty their own lives were. They didn't tell me their lives were shitty, but it was much more entertaining hearing about my woe was me problems. And I was a little bit more sensitive than everyone else. So it was like I made, mountains out of molehills, of course. But I realized that don't be anybody's entertainment either. Don't be anybody's jackass. You know, and once I started having like good stories to talk about with a particular friend, just saying, you know, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I cut back on shopping. I saved this amount of money. Everything is going well with me and my family members. The conversation minimalized dramatically. And it's kind of crazy because you do want to have like that pairing of a friendship and definitely loves in all relationships, parental, sibling, friendships, cousins, whatever. There'll always be lulls. But the good thing about it is, well, can you have a real relationship that's 50-50, 60-40, but come back to 50-50 or 80-20 and then still come back to 50-50? So that's another thing, too, that I've learned, like, don't be a hoe. You don't need to overshare yourself with other people. The other thing, too, that I wanted to kind of, like, discuss a little bit is always try to be a vibe. Now, life is difficult. Life is not easy. And you always do have to choose, like, your heart. You know what I mean? Like, do you want to be healthy? Do you want to be loved? Do you want to just be comfortable, being overweight, whatever have you? Always have that decision to make. But you always got to be a vibe. What does that mean, be a vibe? So, at work, they always want you to put a smile on your face, to be happy-go-lucky, to never show your emotions and things like that. Like, you can't be angry. So, obviously, like I said, I have a deep voice. So, when I yell, it sounds like I'm yelling your head off. And I'm not. I'm really not. It's just that I always have, like, that aggressive, deep voice, kind of like DMX, but the female version of it. And, you know, a Caucasian counterpart or somebody that has a higher pitch tone can be nasty and nice nasty, and they'll get away with it. So it's kind of like checking yourself, being a vibe within that aspect, and also with your friends. So also in that meme, you'll see, you know, mind yourself when you're in company, because you don't know who's watching and who's observing you. And I feel like there's definitely people that will sit there and just sit observe you, and say you have a close friend that invites you to, like, a birthday dinner or things like that, and you're talking, say, hey girl, I just bought a new house in Westchester, blah blah blah, with $700,000, blah blah blah, and another person's eavesdropping, listening to the conversation and things like that, and then they'd be like, oh, I didn't know you bought a house, what's the process like? And you didn't really want to share it with that person, but you were just so elated and excited to share it with your friend. So I feel like in that item, is like, you do have to be a certain type of vibe when a group setting, trying not to be the center of attention, because you don't know who you're dealing with. I know someone that invited me to, like, an event, then kind of like kicked me out of the event because I said I don't want to hang out with a group of girls, which was fine. I don't care. But she thought that I was being negative. Now, this is one thing I'll say. I have another girlfriend. I could tell her something about her friend, and she will never question my thought process on why did I come to that conclusion with that friend, because she knows how her friend is. And that comes to me being a vibe. Like, I would never defend the friend that hard and in pain, just because you haven't seen all your friends in every situation, every circumstance, and you don't know your friends unless the friendship's been tested, A, or B, you've been in situations with them. What are the situations as adults? So I know, like, in high school, teen years, it's probably like shoplifting, breakups, things like that. So testing is, how do they deal with money with you? Do they respect boundaries between you and your significant other, with the family? Do they do nice things and favors for you? So I was reading Joyce Meyer the other day, and she said, oh, in your relationships, especially your friendships, you need to do things for your friends. So I told that to somebody. They were like, oh, that's stupid. You just somebody's friend because they do something for you. Yes. Yes. And when I say that, I'm not saying, like, you scratch my back, I scratch your back. No, no, no. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that before, I was a little bit more selfish, so I didn't really, like, buy things for my friends, take my friends out, or make them feel nice or wanted or special. It was just more, we're together, we're friends. And I realized that I didn't show that person value, the value they had in my life, how much I cared about them, which was kind of like, I had to realize that when I lost one of my best friends. I was like, wow, she showed me she valued me, but I didn't show her I valued her. And again, it doesn't have to be 50-50, but it's showing somebody you value them and you uplift each other. So I remember just me just being that selfish person and not showing others I love them and put thought process into them. So back to the the birthday dinner being a vibe. So I feel like you do have to carry yourself as a vibe, because you are your brand. Now, how you carry yourself in your neighborhood, your brand. If you sleeping around mad dudes, whether you like it or not, they're going to call you a hoe. And then now this is the other type of hoe. Or if you sleep with one dude and you sleep with another dude 2 years later, they're still going to call you a hoe. Whatever, that's her logic. Nobody really cares. But you do have to always think 5 steps ahead of the person. Now, I have a friend who could really do that really well, get in the person's head, know what they're going to ask, know what they're going to do, know how they're going to think. Not everybody can do that, but I think over time, you already know what is it going to be. So I'll give you an example. A couple of weeks ago, I had a girlfriend text me, say, hey, girl, how's it going? etc. And I already knew somebody said something about me. What is it? Let's get into it. And I was waiting for her to say it, and she finally said it while she texted me. And I think I'll save that other one for a different episode on why she actually texted me. It was petty on my part, I'll admit that, or whatever. But it goes to show you, people don't forget ever how you make them feel and what type of pain people inflict on you. So you never forget it. And I kind of started it and I finished it. She sent me a text, oh, why did you do this to so-and-so? Why did you do that so-and-so? And I was like, well, you were there when so-and-so did that to me. And she didn't respond back, which is fine. You know, she probably was expected another reaction. So that's another thing too about being a vibe and not being a hoe. People don't know you anymore. They don't know the new you. They can't get close to you anymore. And that's exactly how I ended the text. I said, nobody from that era will ever get close to me again. Know what I'm doing, know what I'm building, or trying to figure me out at all. And I was proud of myself. Yeah, I engaged in pettiness, but that's neither here nor there. However, I was able to figure out 5 steps ahead. What was she going to ask? What was she thinking? How was she going to go about it in a roundabout way? And I was already figuring out who was who from high school. It took me 20 years to figure out who was who in high school. I know that's kind of crazy, and why I'm even still ruminating on that is beyond me. But kind of when you're doing your self-reflection, your self-work, you're looking at your patterns. What did I do right? Hopefully you're looking at what did I do right and what did you do wrong. And when people say you're dating the same man over and over, you're getting the same friend over and over, sometimes you really got to put that thought process together, like why, and not in a way of beating yourself up, but like kind of like the boiling frog concept. What's that? Have you heard of the boiling frog concept? So a lot of us been in messed up situations in our life, whether it's dating a guy, and there's this thing on the Shade Room right now where everybody's talking about, oh, if a man asks you for money, what did you do? And it's kind of funny to me because it's like, it's so crazy that all these beautiful women are struggling with like trying to find a mate, trying to find a dude and whatever. And it's like, I went through the same thing too, like just, oh, can you buy me this? Can you buy me that? And who do these dudes think they are? But what I learned, when a guy outright asks you, can you buy me something? He already got a lady, a main lady, and he's going to play with you any which way he wants to play with you. And you got to love yourself enough and have strong enough self-esteem to put that man on block ASAP. So that's one of the things that I would mention basically about that. But I also re-referenced the boiling frog. I realized I didn't say what that story is. So it's basically, you put a frog in a pot of like lukewarm water. The frog doesn't know anything that's going on. And then it starts to boil. Uh-oh, the frog is going to die. Big surprise. So I kind of feel like in that dating world, what I just mentioned about the whole money aspect, men, dudes asking you that, you don't have to wait till anything is boiling for you to pull out of it. You see an interview, to switch back to career-wise, you see an interview going downhill. Look, you got to not be desperate, love yourself enough, not to put all your eggs in one basket and to pull out. Don't be like the boiling frog. A friendship is a rock. You feel like a friend is using you a lot. And I feel like that's happened to me a lot. That then you pull out or you say no. So, you know, not all the time you have to cut the person off cold turkey. But once you start saying no and building that boundary for yourself, no, I can't do it. No, I can't do it. They're going to know not to play with you in that certain arena now. And that goes for anything. Like I had somebody, something as simple as, oh, can you cover me for work? And I said no because I was busy at the time with my other projects. And I just said no. And the person was like, oh, I found somebody else to cover for me. And I was like, okay, that works for me as well. But I respected my time and my boundaries. And I was like, I'm not going to be working like it's busy season or something like that. And I feel like that too with men, when they start texting you crazy, things like that, sexual innuendos early on, and you don't even want to do that. That's not what you're about. Always don't give them the benefit of the doubt. Cut them off right away. I'll say that too, because I will go back to like the hood and give my little love stories. And I remember this guy, he was gorgeous. Looks like Lance Gross. He was like, oh, I woke up this morning with my top wet thinking about you. So I'm like, what kind of ghetto fucking shit is this? I went back to the hood. Why am I in the hood talking about my little love life stories? Don't ask me why. I saved that for another day, another time. But they said, oh, don't cut him off. Just check him and let him know better. I felt like I was like mid-20s, late-20s at this time, So I was like, no, he knew better and he had a girlfriend. So it's kind of like, don't be in that boiling pot like the frog. You know something's going downhill and you can try to stay away from assuming. You can ask the question, try to get clarity. And if the answer doesn't sit right with you, you use your instinct to kind of like move on. So overall for this week, I think I'm going to change everything to bi-weekly as things are changing around in my life a little bit. But I wanted to say always be a vibe, the best vibe that you can be. Meaning if you have a funky energy, and I live by this and I may have lost friends along the way. If I don't feel good and you invite me to your event, I'm not going to go because I don't want to bring down the vibe or just think about the negative thing that's going on in my life or my thoughts. I remember I went to my friend's baby shower a few years ago. He says, damn, you should have stayed your ass home the way you were acting. It was so funny to me because he wanted me to come. And I was like, but I don't feel good. I'm going through a breakup or like whatever, like a fake breakup with whoever I liked at the time. And he was just like, oh, just get over it. Feel better, blah, blah, blah. So I feel like always try to be a vibe and put on that happy face. Be that perky person to the world because, look, all you have is you at night. You don't need anybody pulling you down or bringing you down. And whatever makes you happy, just try to do more of that. And my last thought will be, like I said, don't be a hoe. Don't spread yourself so thin. Don't think that you don't value that you have to help everybody. You have to give to everyone. And whether it's money, whether it's clothes, or it's your time, you need time for yourself. Even if it's you sitting at home in the dark, sipping on some tea, looking, but staring blank at the wall, guess what? You are enjoying your you time and yourself. And I go to say this, at night, you sleep with yourself. You may be sleeping next to a man, maybe sleeping next to a woman, but you're still within your head and you're still within yourself. So I feel like you got to protect the energy that's coming on you. Not everybody's for you. And I had a friend who definitely told me that. Not everybody's going to like my stories. Not everybody's going to like my jokes. But there's going to be an audience for me. There's going to be friends for me. And I just had to keep peeling back the layers of myself to figure out what I liked and what I don't like. So I feel like that's what don't be a hoe is being. Figuring out what you like in life and figuring out what you don't like in life. So again, hope you have peace and blessings for the week. And I'll dedicate this episode to the friend I lost earlier this year who did teach me the real meaning of friendship, showing your friends that you care and you love them, even if it's them giving them like Christmas gifts. If you don't celebrate Christmas, just buying them coffee for the week to pay it forward, just showing people that you care, but also treating them like you care too. You can't just say treat them good and then say shut the fuck up too. So it goes both ways. So I'll definitely dedicate it to her. I always remember our junior high school years, our high school years together. And thank you for teaching me how to be a friend and how to be a vibe. Have a good week.